The picture you are about to see is a portrayal of the lives of two policemen working out of a precinct in the South Bronx, New York. Because the story involves police work, it does not deal with the law-abiding members of the community, nor does it dramatize the efforts of the individuals and groups who are struggling to turn the Bronx around. Time Life Films presents a David Susskind production. Paul Newman in Fort Apache, The Bronx, starring Edward Asner, Ken Vahl, Danny Aiello, Pam Grier. A view over the rooftops of a neighborhood crowded with buildings, the Manhattan skyline in the far distance. Rachel Tikotin and Kathleen Bella. The sky is grey over the city and the brick buildings dull and forlorn. Written by Haywood Gould. Directed by Daniel Petrie. A police car is parked on an empty street. Charlotte, a woman wearing a thin patterned dress, staggers towards the car. The two cops inside notice her.
Hey, check this out. She's been working the night shift.
Ain't she freezing?
She's so whacked she thinks she's in the Bahamas. Oh, here she comes. You been partying, baby?
Gee, I've been partying all the time. I'm a party girl.
Well, party on home, baby. Take a little rest.
Not rest. I don't need no rest. I'm on the case, you know?
Y'all want to come party with me?
Not now, baby.
I got some fine for New York's finest.
Well, we're on the job.
See, I'm on my J-O-B, too. Just like you. Shit, an important job. Y'all just take a look at this.
She takes a revolver out of her handbag and shoots the cops dead. Charlotte puts the gun back in her bag and staggers towards a derelict building. A shabbily dressed man appears in a doorway, then another looks out from a dilapidated shop front as Charlotte stumbles over some rubble. The two men stride towards the police car. They're joined by several other men who all gather around the car. One of them looks in through the driver's window. Another opens the passenger door. The body of one of the cops flops onto the ground. The men steal the cops' badges, then run off. Now, a window in a police locker room overlooks a train rumbling across a track. Murphy sits with his feet up, doing a crossword puzzle, while the other cops prepare themselves for a day on the streets.
What is this? They're gonna fight at OK Corral?
As long as there's cop killers around, pal, I'm gonna be ready.
Don't make no difference how many guns you got. You only got two hands.
Murphy don't need no hardware. All you got to do is breathe on the suckers and then give up without a fight.
You can't get your man with six bullets, you might as well go in with a tank.
Anybody know those two guys? Columbus was in the car with us, wasn't he?
Yeah, a kid just out of the academy. The other one, too.
He was a rookie, too? What was his name?
What difference does it make?
Squad guys said they still had their coffee in their hands when they got it.
A head in the face, almost point-blank range.
Sounds like a hit.
Hey! Look at Bill Brummel over there. I got to think he'd be dropping atomic bombs on the Bronx, and he'd be standing there figuring out what jockey shorts are on with his tie.
Ah, jealous. Typical bust-out cop reaction, you know? A guy's got a little style, a guy tries to rise above his circumstances, and you gotta knock him.
Mm-hmm. That's what we need up here, is a cop with style.
Hey, listen, I ain't no 20-year man like you, baby. Check me out, man. Look at the threads in there. I'm dressing for success. I got a self-image, man.
Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, the million-dollar mouth.
Yeah, just wait till I cruise up here in my Bentley.
Bentley?
Yeah, Bentley.
Grab! Get the needle out of his arm!
Hey, my fine old junkie, man.
Come on, give me some help here.
Come on, snap, get off.
What's the charge? Indecent exposure.
They're showing his face as indecent exposure.
Next patient.
Goddamn switchboard's out again.
I'll take a look at it, boss.
Pantuzzi, I'll need a car up from Borough tomorrow to get my junk out of here. You think you can arrange that?
Yes, sir. I'm gonna miss you, boss.
In 2 days, you won't even remember what I look like. Maybe in my last couple of days up here, you can stop the bullshit. It's all right, though. You guys have it easy with me. I mean, this new guy's gonna cut you to pieces.
Who's the new guy? Captain Dennis Connolly.
I heard of him. He's a headquarters guy. Been kissing ass so long, he wipes his nose with toilet paper.
Hey, headquarters hero.
I give him 3 months up here.
We lost two guys on the 8th to 4 today. Sure, you all know about it. Got the reporters outside, and there's a special unit from downtown that's working on the squeal. And they'll all be gone in a couple of hours, and we'll still be here. Now, until we clear this thing, we're moving targets. That's those of us that move. It's not a good idea to let the folks up here know it's open season on cops. Now, you guys, every one of you, you got your stools. Canvas your sectors, toss everybody. And never mind from downtown. It's on us to get some information on this. And it'll be our asses if we don't. Okay, enough said. All right. Got a rape of an 11-year-old girl. Suspect described as black male, 6'6", 240 pounds, still at large. Victim has provided a sketchy description. It's over at the desk. We got complaints on a crap game in back of St. Anselmo's. Sisters called it in. That sector Adam, Boyd, and Williams. Don't move it. Bust it. Right? Gotta let them know they leave the church and the grounds alone. Track star on Brockton. This is a skinny dude with felony shoes and a World War I pilot's cap, right? Snatching purses from the welfare lady. As you probably know, Captain Dugan is retiring. He's been replaced by Captain Dennis Connolly. We were going to throw Captain Dugan a racket, but with the different tours, it didn't work. So we set up a collection to buy him a present. Any of you guys want to contribute, there's a kitty on the sergeant's desk. Okay? Knock it off. You're dismissed.
The cops shuffle out of the room. Captain Dugan's collection jar sits on a desk containing a few coins. Someone drops in a dollar bill, then a moment later, someone else adds an empty drinks can. Murphy makes his way out of the station and over to his squad car. Murphy and his partner, Corelli, cruise down a wide street in their car.
Watch, the neighborhood's gonna be full of stars with all these TV cameras around. People will be blowing each other away just to get in the news. Fires. You see a lot of fires, but they look real good on the tube.
I'm telling you, man, a cop killing is a media event.
Big deal. Huh? Put a black border around his picture and give him an inspector's funeral.
Yeah, and people sending your ex-wife money from all over the country.
She'd like that. Meanwhile, ain't a chance of making a collar on this with all these hoopos around here.
Yeah, well, okay, look on the bright side, though. I mean, we get our names in the papers, right? We're gonna be real serious on TV. Hey, you know, with your good looks, maybe you'll get the ball and anchor lady.
Yeah. Not with my luck. If it was raining, anchor ladies, I'd get hit with Walter Cronkite.
I want to fly, mira, saigas en del medio. I don't want the blood to spatter all over you, my people. I know you're gonna miss me. Ay, Dios mío, por qué yo sufrido tanto.
The screaming man standing on the edge of a building.
Hey, anybody know this guy?
I do. He's my roommate, and I hope he break his stupid neck.
Oh, come on, Raquel. Don't you want to kiss and make up?
Hell no. He stole my dad on summer wig.
The bitch.
You the super?
Yeah.
Find the car.
Murphy and Corelli head into the building with the transvestite.
I don't know about Carl anymore. I don't know what's the matter with him anymore.
Come on. What are you wearing? Chanel number 5?
No, it's Winsome by Machiavelli.
Let's go. Carl! Oye, ve Carl, pendejo. Stay away.
Hey, Carl. Hey, wait a minute. Come on now. Think it over, huh? Hey, look, you can become a star if you wanted to.
Go ahead. Hey, put on a wig. Let's see what the wig looks like.
Is Tom Snyder here yet?
No, he said to wait for him.
Tom!
He said to wait for him right here.
Tom! Tom Snyder! Tom! Tom! I'm coming down, Tom!
Look out! Wait, alone! Look!
I'm coming down!
As Carl dives over the edge of the building, Murphy and Corelli grab his legs just in time and pull him back onto the roof.
Is Tom out here? Is Tom Snyder here? All these people, my people! I love you, my people, I love you! Hurry, fix my wig! Fix my wig! I've been... Como esta mi chichi?
At a hospital.
I need the last chance. I need the last dance. Hello.
What happened?
A jumper.
Man, we don't have psychiatric facilities here.
So it's a date of it. Someone will dope you in the morning.
Where's your medical degree?
Back at the house. Want to come by and see it?
Yes. See if this guy has major medical.
Murph, what are they going to do with me, Murphy?
Well, you don't need these cuffs anymore.
I don't want to go to jail.
Oh, you got it all wrong, Carl.
This guy going to jail?
Nah, no way. Don't worry about it. Forget it.
Hey, Isabella.
We ain't filing a complaint, so just put him down as a plain patient, okay? Okay?
Okay, if you say so.
See, Carl, everything's gonna be okay.
I'm all messed up.
Ain't we all? We'll be back in a little while, see if you're all right.
Thanks, Murphy.
It'll take about an hour to find us.
Good. Come on, let's go eat.
Bye, Andy.
So long, Slick. Take care of yourself. So, will it be Puerto Rican, or Puerto Rican cuisine, huh?
Decisions, decisions.
Yeah, right? Hey, isn't that our man up there? The guy with the World War I cap and the felony shoes.
I don't want to chase this dude.
That's right. The big bad policeman's is here, so don't rip nobody off.
Son of a bitch! Right in our faces! Let's get him.
Track star runs off with a woman's purse, and the duo chase after him in the car. Track star runs up some stone steps. The squad car screeches to a halt. Murphy gets out and gives chase. Track star runs through a park, leaping over some benches, with Murphy in hot pursuit. Murphy clambers over the benches and continues his chase, his hand on his holster. They run past some people playing squash in a court, who stop to watch the pursuit. Trackstar runs across a street and climbs over a gate. Murphy stops, out of breath. A police car screeches to a halt. Murphy leans against a metal fence. Another blue and white squad car pulls up, then Morgan and Finley come over.
Oh, Murphy.
Oh, you got a cigarette?
Yeah.
Why don't you just drop the bastard?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. Shoot a person at you, they crucify me.
So you say he pulled a knife and we'd back you up.
That's all you gotta do, Murph. You lay it on him.
I know how to flake a guy as good as you do, Morgan.
Gee, you get a heart attack before you ever catch a nigger, Tarzan.
What's his problem?
He thinks I'm a liberal.
A short, stocky man in a suit gets out of a car holding a suit bag. He strides past some children playing with a ball and skipping rope, then heads towards the 41st Precinct building. The man stops inside the door, casting a disparaging frown over some children running around playfully. A woman sits on a bench, conducting music only she can hear. The man walks towards the front desk, throwing a glance over his shoulder at a cop escorting a struggling criminal.
Captain Dugan's office.
Pantuzzi points him in the right direction.
Don't
Did you monitor the people who asked to see the commander, Sergeant? What if I was a lunatic with a gun?
Then you wouldn't be a police officer, Captain Connolly. Or would you?
What's your name, Sergeant?
Kicking ass and taking names, huh, Captain? Well, I'm Sergeant Anthony Pantuzzi. I got 22 years on the job, and I'm ready to retire tomorrow if I get a hard time from my new commander. I'll take the half pension before I'll take any crap from anybody. Captain Dugan's office is over on the right, as close to the street as he can get.
Thank you, Sergeant.
As Connolly heads off, Pantuzzi gives him a half-hearted salute.
Come in. Captain Dugan? Connolly.
Yeah.
You picked a great day to take over. This place was jammed with reporters all morning. Page one, your first day up here. You like press conferences, Connolly?
They're part of the job.
Yeah, that's for sure. They put it out you volunteer for this job.
I did.
I tell you something, Connolly, you'd do better walking a beat in Beirut than you will here.
You're supposed to have some background material for me.
Yeah, I got it. Block by block rundowns. Ongoing investigation, trouble spots, community people, personnel evaluation.
I'm interested in the ratio of rookies to veterans.
I didn't break it down that way.
Two rookies in a car is always a mistake.
So I'm going to be blamed for those killings, huh?
Now be blamed till they're cleared. How about corruption?
Well, anybody on the job now in my precinct is clean.
Your precinct has the worst absentee record in the city. The most disability claims, the highest percentage of men on sick call, the least convictions per arrest, and you want me to believe there are no men on the take.
Oh, so they toss the numbers running for a couple of dollars. Turn a pimp upside down for a little loose change. There's nobody getting rich up here.
There's nobody doing anything that I can see. These men are motivated.
Motivated? I mean, this is Siberia, Connolly. 65% of the men up here have been transferred. We got the knivers, the slobs, the shirkers. Guys who beat up the wrong guinea, who gave a diplomat a parking ticket. Screwed a big mouth hooker, or shook down the wrong peddler.
There are plenty of good police officers in your command. You're the one who's fallen down on the job.
Yeah, that's right. Blame Dugan. Sure, let the politicians and everybody else off the hook. Blame Dugan. That's the easy way. You got a 40-block area with 70,000 people packed in like sardines, smelling each other's farts, living like cockroaches, and that's Dugan's fault. You got the lowest income per capita, the highest rate of unemployment in the city. And that's my fault. Why aren't I out there getting all these people jobs? Largest proportion of non-English-speaking population in the city. Dugan's fault. Why aren't I out there teaching them to speak English? 4% Spanish-speaking cops on the force. Hey, Dugan, get your ass out in the barrio and recruit. Families that have been on welfare for three generations. Youth gangs. Winos. Junkies. Pimps. Hookers. Maniacs. Populous.
You finished?
Yeah, I'm finished. I'm going to Florida, Connolly. I'm going fishing, so you can bring up your computers and your slide rules and all your psychological techniques. I mean, this neighborhood will bury you. There's enough dirt in this precinct to bury every smart-ass cop in the city.
What you reading?
Corelli shows him.
Oh, geez. Another one of them self-help stroke jobs. Why don't you read something ordinary, like Dick Tracy or the Yellow Pages?
No, man, this is crucial. See, you don't understand. People give out a certain kind of message with their clothing.
Well, yeah?
I'll be out of these pajamas in a couple years. Don't worry about it.
How about that fashion plate? What's his message? Hey.
A pimp wearing a long fur coat is slapping up Charlotte.
What the fuck you talking
hey.
About, huh?
Hey, hey, hey,
what
hey,
the fuck?
Hey.
The bitch is changing.
Hey, keep
man.
It off. Keep it off the street.
Hey, I put it out in the line, and she don't come back with nothing. I mean, she used to be the main hoe on the set.
It's not that
I mean,
bad.
She could pull anybody. Bad. Pull him out of a goddamn Cadillac doing 75 on an FDR. But now she ain't worth nothing!
Nothing!
Hey, you bitch!
Hey, you gonna run this guy a benefit?
You know, I'm not kidding you, man. The bitch is nuts, man. She been smoking that angel dust, you dig? I mean, that shit'll make you crazy. I mean, I can't even deal with it!
Hey, hey, hey! Just keep it off the street, huh? We're in a nice clean sector here. Come on.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know you, huh?
Do we sit in the same pew?
I guess not. Hey, easy there, Wild Bill.
I'm just going for my wallet. I want to show you my driver's license.
Uh-huh. That's a nice coat. How'd you like me to cut it open and let all the rats out?
This coat costs more than you make in a year, fucker.
Who knows your name?
I told you I was famous.
The pimp offers Murphy cash.
That's yours, huh?
Yeah, that's legally parked. Oh, fuck!
Now, that's defective headlights.
Oh, shit, shit! Man, that's my car!
Hey, no windshield wipers.
Don't
try to fly me, you scumbag. You try to grease me again, and I'll turn your head like a goddamn doorknob.
Hey, Murph, slow down, man. Come on.
Keep it off the street.
Come on, Murph. What's the matter with you all of a sudden?
Son of a bitch thinks he can own me for a couple of bucks.
Like he owns a lot of other cops. Big dealers just doing business, that's all.
Like we do too, huh?
Hey, we're living in a world we never made, my man.
Keep it off the street!
What's wrong with you, Charlotte? Asked you tonight. Now you're putting a man on me, huh? What the fuck's getting? Get on me, huh?
The pimp drags Charlotte over to his car. A man's waving a butcher's knife at a crowd of people outside a corner shop. A man wearing an apron hits him on the back of the head with a broom as a police car pulls up. Murphy and Corelli get out of the car. The knifeman spots them approaching, and Murphy watches him warily, while Corelli slowly unholsters his gun and hides it behind his hat. Murphy makes a funny face at the knifeman. He turns his cap round. Murphy slowly approaches the knife man, sticking out his tongue and waving his hands insanely. He beckons the bewildered knife man closer, then reaches out and plucks the knife from his hand. At the station, Connolly notices a Native American headdress and pipe displayed on the wall.
What's all this Indian junk?
Well, you know, the precinct is nicknamed Fort Apache.
The men put that up, Captain. Guy goes on vacation, he brings back some kind of souvenir, you know?
It makes the place look like a fraternity house. Take it down, Lieutenant.
It's not a good idea, Captain.
Now let's see about getting this place painted.
Well, that's kind of a problem. Painters won't come up here.
We'll have to get all those civilians out from in front of the precinct.
Can't do that.
Excuse me?
This is the only place the old folks can go without getting mugged. It's the same with the mothers and the kids. You see, this isn't a police station, Captain. It's a fort in hostile territory. You understand?
Fort Apache.
Here's the final disposition.
How's he doing?
He's resting now. We're sending him over to Bronx State. He'll be okay.
You want to go out tonight and have a drink?
Well, 200 cops ask me out every day. And why should I say yes to you?
Because you say yes to all the others.
Well, I guess that makes you the only cop in the Bronx I say no to.
Isabella walks off.
Why, you certainly have a way with women, don't you?
Yeah, the broad's crazy about it, can't you tell?
Oh, yeah.
In an abandoned store right here, there's a drug operation. We traced it to the hospital, and narcotics has got a man inside now.
The hospital?
Yeah. There have been reports of thefts of morphine, surgical cocaine, syringes, also sales of drugs in the hospital.
The rookies could have stumbled on a felony in progress.
Those guys were shot at almost point-blank range. Even a rookie is going to make a move if he sees something's going on.
No information from the street so far?
Are you kidding? Any place else a guy sees a cop get killed, he runs to the phone. Here, the door's closed. Right now, there could be 5 people out there who know who did this. In a few hours, 10, maybe more. But not us. Up here, Captain. Cops are like husbands. They're always the last to know.
Murphy to Corelli.
Well, there's a friend over there. Don't you know enough to come out of the rain?
I mean, he didn't kill her. Must be a good deed for the day.
Charlotte ambles slowly along the rain-soaked street, wearing a vacant expression. The squad car cruises down the dark street, then pulls up. Murphy and Corelli get out, Murphy looking warily at the dark building before them.
What was this all about?
An ambulance call.
Sure, I'd like to go in a dark building. There are cop killers around.
Decisions, decisions.
They head towards the building. They make their way into a narrow, dimly lit corridor and climb a staircase. They walk along the landing, glancing around warily. There are naked light bulbs on the ceiling, shedding meagre light onto the beige-coloured walls. They approach an apartment door, and Murphy knocks. A man answers the door.
Okay, what's going on?
Okay, hermano.
They're led through the dingy, overcrowded apartment. A young girl's lying in bed, looking feverish.
She's having a bambino.
Speak English?
Yes.
How old are you?
14.
Well, you know something about babies, then, because I think you're going to have yours right now.
No.
Yeah. I mean, you have to. Yeah, I know. You kept your coat out in the house for 4 months. You didn't tell nobody. You can't hide it now. It's okay. We'll help you, okay? I got to wash my hands. Make sure she don't pass out. Come on. You got to help me. You got to help me. Come on. Oh, that's good. That's good. Come on, Nina. Come on. You're almost there. Come on, push. Push.
Rosary beads and a cross hang from a wall lamp.
Keep trying. Here we go. Here we go. It's coming now, Nina. It's coming.
At the hospital, a man with a brown leather jacket draped over his shoulders swaggers down the corridor.
Dr. Silverman, call your office, please. Dr. Kozlov, you're needed in surgery.
He heads into a stairwell.
Hey, bro, what looks like? What's happening? Listen now, no shots, no credit this time. Sorry, man. Got a brand new badge, nice cut on it. What can I do for you, man? Come on, get your money ready. Money. Okay, bro, what you want?
He exchanges money for drugs with one of the orderlies.
You don't look too good. This will take it out. Do two, will straighten you out.
He makes another exchange.
All right, look, I'll catch you guys later, right?
The drug dealer comes through some swing doors into the reception area and saunters past Isabella at the desk. She throws him a look as he wanders past. Murphy and Corelli head down the corridor, a nurse carrying the baby in a blanket. The teenaged girl is brought in on a stretcher.
I think you guys are trying to take my job.
Murphy's collapsed into a wheelchair. Isabella.
What's the matter with him?
Postoperative depression. Just delivered a baby.
Murphy makes a show of looking worn out.
You all right?
Oh, yeah. That's my 17th in 14 years up here.
17? You could almost be an obstetrician. You need a drink.
I need a nurse.
You supply the booze, I'll supply the nurse.
You asking me out?
Maybe.
I get asked out by about 200 nurses every day. Why should I say yes to you?
Because you say yes to all the others. See if you can find your way back here at midnight.
You know, you take more time getting ready than my old lady does. You know that?
Oh, yeah, if that's a proposition, I'm already engaged. Sorry, pal.
Man's got a heavy date tonight. Man's gonna score.
The man is seeing his fiancée tonight, which means the man's gonna get shut out.
Hey. Back up, Jim. You're talking about the woman I love, huh?
You know what a nice Catholic schoolboy means when he says he's in love? Means he ain't getting no cho-cha.
No cho-cha for the kid.
No cho-cha.
Not even a cho.
You scruffy Irish potato eater. What do you know about style, huh? What any of you guys know about style? Look at you. I'm giving out a heavy message tonight with these clothes, okay?
What's that?
The message is... Take me. Please take me. Whole year we've been going out. I'm getting lower back pain from all this anxiety. Please.
What a lady.
Please take me.
We're gonna need a padded patrol car for this fruitcake.
Isabella's descending the stone steps outside the hospital's entrance. Murphy's waiting in a car with a cigarette dangling from his mouth. He gets out when he sees her. He leans on the roof of the car and takes a drag of his cigarette as she comes over.
I didn't think you'd come.
Well, I had a break of day with Charlie's Angels.
I hope you don't regret it.
Murphy and Isabella make their way into a dimly lit bar.
Hey, cowboy!
Up, guys?
Finley to Morgan.
What's he doing? He's going out with nurses now.
Well, it makes sense. Catches something from her, at least she can cure it.
Date night?
Oh, yeah.
Bacardi and Coke?
Me too.
Well, no beer. What is it, your birthday?
Make them doubles.
You won't get me drunk.
For how much?
My money's on the lady.
Isabella smiles, and the waitress grins at him widely.
You want to join us?
Excuse me.
All the time, she gives me the cold shoulder. Now all of a sudden, she wants to talk.
She's jealous.
In the street, Corelli takes the lid off a rubbish bin and takes out an empty can. He stands in front of an apartment building and throws it up at a window. A moment later, a light comes on. The window opens and a young woman looks out.
Teresa, Teresa.
Shh, Auntie.
I got pizza. Pizza, come on. Go on, open the front door. Come on.
She laughs, then ducks inside. Corelli runs around the building to the entrance, carrying a pizza box.
Andy, it's after midnight.
Come on, just let me come in for a minute. Just one minute. Come on. Open the door.
For God's sakes, my parents are sleeping.
Listen, if you don't want to do nothing, how come you wear outfits like that?
Huh? Why do I wear a cop's uniform to bed?
Come on, just let me come in for a second. One second. Come on.
Don't get crazy on me now.
No, don't worry about it. Oh, just gonna eat the pizza, I promise. Don't worry about nothing.
Back at the bar, Murphy selects a tune on the jukebox, then dances back over to Isabella's table.
There.
Yes.
I can't believe I'm on a date.
You don't do this all the time?
How about never?
Why, you married?
No, I'm not. Well, I'm not married now. I don't know why I'm having so much trouble with this. I'm divorced. It's no big thing.
Kids?
Yeah, three girls. So what about you?
So what about me what?
Well, tell me a little something about yourself. That's what you're supposed to do on a date, isn't it?
Yeah, only I don't like talking about myself.
Well, I don't like talking about myself either.
So let's talk about two other people.
Okay. I'll tell you about yourself, you tell me about myself. And the one who's right wins a drink.
Okay, you start.
Square business.
Tell it like it is.
He takes a sip of his drink, furrowing his brow as he thinks.
Poor family. You're the oldest. You got a lot of brothers and sisters. You got a brother in a joint. Your mother's sick. You got a scholarship to nursing school and you did real good, but you can't get a job anyplace but here. How am I doing?
I don't know yet.
Smoke a little reefer, fool around a little bit. You ought to get married, but selection in the neighborhood ain't that good.
finished?
Yeah.
Okay. You come from three generations of cops. Your grandfather and your father and your brothers are all cops. All your friends are cops. It's a good thing there's some lady cops who wouldn't have any sex life. You get drunk every night. You think all men are thieves and all women are sluts. And you don't trust anyone but your partner.
It's my round.
No, the drinks are on me.
Jesus, am I stuffed. Well, you could have at least had one piece. It wouldn't kill you.
No, I just gained 100 pounds.
Oh, I just gained 100 pounds. We'd work it off. Come on.
Stop it. Stop my parents.
I'm just sleeping. Don't worry about it.
No, not. My father gets up every night for Briaski.
Oh, man. If your father's stomach's going to mess up my sex life, forget about it.
Come here.
She pats the plastic-covered sofa. He goes over and sits beside her. She holds his hand.
Don't you think I want to?
I don't know. Do you?
I do. I can't wait till we're married.
Wait until we're married. No, see, you don't understand. You keep forgetting that I'm a cop. Any day that I go to work could be my last.
Andy.
Today we almost got blasted.
I don't
Five guys opened fire on us. We were on our meal period and they started blasting.
She cups his face in her hands and kisses him on the lips. She kisses him again.
That's my life.
How long have you been a cop?
18 years. It's too long.
You ought to at least be commissioner by now.
You sound like my ex-wife. No, I'm a detective, you know. I got a gold shield. I just didn't keep it very long.
What did you do?
Oh, no.
Oh, come on. What did you do?
Oh. I nailed this guy at Westchester Avenue. See, he's going about 65 miles an hour. He's drunk. He's really drunk. He's all over the road. And he was a local hood. He was a guy that I put in before for extortion. So, anyway, the next day the guy gets out. He drives his caddy bike, gives me the finger. So on this one, he just laughs in my face. He says, a summons? He said, my God, he said, my lawyer's gonna take care of this tomorrow, you jerk. So I thought, I said, hey, the guy's right, I'm a jerk. So, I leaned across, grabbed his car keys, and threw in a sewer and said, see if your lawyer can take care of that tomorrow. Well, this guy is jumping up and down and yelling at me. And I ate his driver's license.
What?
Yeah, and then right after that, I ate his registration. The registration tasted better than the driver's license. Well, he said, my lawyer's going to make one call, and you're finished. I said, finished? So I laughed in his face. Oh, the lawyer made the call. And he took away the shield and put me back in a monkey suit.
A little while later, Murphy pulls up in his car outside Isabella's apartment building. He looks at her nervously.
Well, moment of truth.
Yeah. Hey, listen, thanks for the drinks.
Anytime.
I guess I ought to be flattered that you're not making a move on me. Means you respect me.
Well, I don't go to parties where I ain't invited.
You want an engraved invitation?
She gives him a small smile. He leans over and kisses her on the lips. He gestures outside the window.
What is that, a walk-up?
And I'm on the fifth floor.
Let's climb that staircase to paradise.
Let's go to your place. You got any other names besides Murphy?
Hey, don't get personal.
Remember you said that when we get to your place.
What? John Joseph Vincent III. Satisfied?
Big name.
Huh? Big man.
We'll see about that.
Isabella makes her way into a dimly lit apartment. Murphy closes the front door behind her. She switches on a light and goes into the living room, a table's cluttered with mess. She takes off her coat.
You don't need a girlfriend, you need a maid.
You did the same thing?
Baby, you're in the wrong century.
Yeah. Help, police.
They put their arms around each other and kiss, Murphy unzipping the back of Isabella's nurse's uniform. She withdraws and goes over to the bed. Murphy unholsters his gun and puts it on a side table, then strides over to Isabella. Reflected in the mirror, they flop onto the bed, falling into a passionate embrace. Meanwhile, in Teresa's bedroom, she's in bed with Corelli.
Andy?
Hmm?
I'm glad we did it. Are you?
Glad we did what?
Wise guy. Andy?
Hmm?
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was all right.
It's just all right?
Yeah, well, you know, there was enough pepperoni on it, and the anchovies tasted like shoe leather.
It didn't mean the pizza, it meant me.
Oh, you? You're okay. But there wasn't enough pepperoni on it. The anchovies tasted like shoe leather.
Shut up.
John Joseph Vincent Murphy III.
You called?
JJ. Yeah, JJ, that's what I'm gonna call you
for. Oh, no, you ain't.
Murphy. Murphy. The Irish cop. How can you work in a neighborhood like this?
You think I can't understand these people? Hey, I wish you're a lot like the Puerto Ricans. In fact, they are the Puerto Ricans in England. They like that drink and dance and singing. Make love. I'm talking about the ones on the other side. I admit something happened to them when they come over here. They became a bunch of tight-ass priests. A ward healer.
Lying behind her in bed, Murphy glances over at her face.
What the hell am I talking about?
Murphy kisses Isabella on the shoulder. He sits up, glances at her sleeping form, then slowly eases himself out of bed. He tiptoes his way out of the room and goes into the bathroom. He emerges a moment later with a towel wrapped around his waist. He takes a drag of a cigarette. He goes over to the bed and is about to pull the sheet over Isabella's exposed legs when he notices some needle marks on the side of her right knee. Murphy looks concerned as he pulls the sheet over her legs. He turns away from her and looks out of the window, taking a drag on his cigarette. A car slows to a halt on a dark, wet street. The driver's door opens and a man gets out, noticing some prostitutes plying their trade across the street. A little later, the man's struggling to change a tire.
Son of a bitch! I wonder if that would pull off the highway into this jungle. Come on!
Charlotte saunters over to him in her high heels and patterned dress.
Hello, lover. You won't go out?
He stands up and glances around warily.
Come on, let's take a little walk.
How much?
Well, if I was selling it, baby, you sure couldn't afford it. But I'm gonna give it up, 'cause I like you. Yeah. This ain't a motel, baby, but it'll do just fine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it's okay to me.
She escorts him into a dark, derelict building.
Nobody can do it like I can. Come on down. Sit right there.
He sits on a chair, and she gets down on her knees in front of him. He watches her, smiling with anticipation. His abandoned car falls off its jack.
Scorpio. Recreation will lead to potential employment. Money comes in early June. A fantasy comes through in September.
Murphy's lying on the sofa reading the paper. Isabella comes over and gives him a glass of juice, which he sips.
This is the life.
Yeah, just don't get too used to it.
Tough guy, huh?
That's right.
She hugs him, and he slaps her backside.
You're not tough. You're a pussycat, just like me.
My water's boiling.
No.
Yes.
As she heads off, he watches her smiling thoughtfully. Now, Corelli comes into the kitchen where his teenaged brother is sitting.
Hey, punk.
Man, what a racket. You know what the number was yesterday?
What?
Number 444. Except for a little single action, we cleared $3,200. You know, sometimes I think bookies are a patron saint.
Yeah, well, you pray to that saint when they bust your little operation. Maybe they'll get you 90 days instead of a year.
He's just uptight because he didn't get laid last night.
What are you, Joyce Brothers over here?
Corelli's father's at the sink.
Hey, Pop, it'll be a first-class piece of detective work to assume that you've been downstairs pressing the grapes.
No, I got 4 barrels ready for Christmas. I got this guy all the way from Jersey ready to buy my wine.
My brother's a bookie. My father's a bootlegger. I can make a fortune shaking down my own family. I never have to leave the house.
His father throws a cloth at him.
What are you laughing at? Knock it off. Hey, don't start. Don't start with me, punk.
What's this South Bronx People's Party that keeps coming up?
The disco revolutionaries. Know what I mean? They got federal money to open a storefront on Fox Street. And they make a lot of hate cop noises. They preach armed revolt, but they spend most of their time bowling white chicks from Scarsdale.
Stacy, you following through?
Yeah, we're gonna pay him a visit. Might go to Scarsdale first.
Might as well, for all the production we've been getting from you down here.
What am I? A mind reader? You got 50,000 potential cop killers in this precinct. You want me to toss them all?
I want you to bring the South Bronx People's Party in for questioning. That's what I want.
Boss wants production. What we're going to do is we're going to take a few anti-crime units out of each tour. You guys will be plainclothes, unmarked car. Mulherney Tessitore, Lane and Baker, Corelli and Murphy.
Corelli don't got no plainclothes.
Let me wear a tuxedo. What do I care? But the idea is to make a lot of felony collars, okay?
I'd like a minute, Sergeant.
Now hold it down, fellas. Hold it down. Captain has something to say, all right?
We are making zero progress on the investigation of the murders of our two men. This case must be cleared, even if we have to take extraordinary measures to clear it. Every day that we lag is another day that we lose respect in a neighborhood.
A dazed Morgan drops his nightstick.
Pick it up.
Morgan picks up his nightstick.
Starting on this tour, I'm gonna want you to start making arrests. All of you know of criminal situations that exist. Up until now, you looked the other way. That's gotta stop. Every suspect that we bring in will be questioned by the squad. We're gonna bring them in, book them, toss them, and see what they spit out. And we won't quit until we get a lead. Now, I don't expect something for nothing from you men. So I'm offering a deal. You call us somebody who gives us information, you get a week added to your vacations.
Who's gonna be minding the store when we're all on vacation?
Sir.
I'll follow you, Patrolman.
Well, we could all go around with our noses buried in the penal code. We could make 100 bum collars a day. So the jails will be full, the neighborhood will be empty, and meanwhile, you ain't gonna be one step closer to clearing those killings.
You're afraid to do some police work, Murphy. You can stay in and clean out the shithouses until you retire.
Shut your mouth, Murphy.
As for the rest of you, my office stands. Two leads, 2 weeks, and so on. Call it bribery. Call it dedicated police work. Just get out in the street and bring in those cop killers. I won't question your motives.
Okay, knock it off, knock it off. It's
finished. Yeah. Let's go downstairs and get into something more comfortable, huh? Come on.
Murphy and Corelli are in civilian clothes.
Plain wheels, plain clothes, plain brain.
Ah, plain, plain. What are you always putting yourself down for, huh?
I feel a lecture coming on.
Yeah, well, you need one. I mean, I appreciate you more than you do yourself, you know that? I can see your hidden potential.
A good eye.
Ah, a guy like you with all you got going for you, shit, man, you could conquer the world. But no, instead you keep holding yourself back, huh?
You're gonna be my guru, huh? I mean, you're gonna tell me how to release the hidden powers within.
Well, I tell you, I can give you some tips based on my extensive study of the road to success.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Now, the first thing you're gonna have to deal with is this problem you seem to have with authority figures. You have a lot of trouble taking orders, am I right?
Yeah.
You have what they call very low self-esteem. Listen to me. Now, before you make any progress at all in your life, you're gonna have to get in touch with your feelings.
Keep trying, but the line's always busy. Is Dooley reliable?
We'll soon find out.
The two cops creep up to an apartment door with their weapons at the ready. Murphy kicks the door open.
I'm calling my lawyer.
Yeah?
Never mind that.
Hey,
what's the matter with you?
We're gonna get this bastard a workout! Come on! What's the matter with him?
Come on. Hey, he's a little upset because of those cop killings.
I'm no cop killer. Cops are my best customers.
Listen, you ain't seeing no lawyer till I'm finished with you, fatso. You got that?
Hey, cut it out! That's why we're up here, to see if we can get a lead on that case.
Talk to the creep across the hall. He's been dealing guns out of the apartment for weeks.
All right, take it easy. Calm down. You can give yourself a heart.
Okay. Please don't tell him I gave him up. He'll kill me.
Don't worry.
Listen, arrest yourself. Go wait in the van.
Okay. Watch your man. He's mean. He's stolen on downs all the time. He blasts his goddamn radio at all hours.
Some people got no consideration.
Murphy emerges from the apartment, then heads across the hall. Corelli follows him, glancing warily down the hallway. They stand on either side of the door.
Go in. I don't hear no radio. He could be sitting behind that door with an M60.
Murphy glances over his shoulder, then makes his way down the hallway. He goes down some steps and takes the lid off a metal rubbish bin. He brings the rubbish bin back into the hallway and places it outside the apartment door. Corelli and Murphy set fire to the rubbish.
It's okay.
They hide at the end of the corridor as smoke billows from the rubbish bin.
Fire!
unconscious.
A topless woman.
Not her.
Not at all.
Not her.
This guy does all right.
Him.
Having grabbed the man who emerged from the apartment, the partners make their way down a narrow corridor which opens out into a basement room. Men are crowded around an animal pen where a cockfight's in progress. Murphy and Corelli break through the crowd.
Okay, sports lovers, police!
Later, Murphy and Corelli pull up in a van outside a building. Murphy gets out and Corelli drives off. Prostitutes hang around parked cars, some of them leaning into the driver's seat. Murphy gets on a megaphone.
All right, music lovers, out of the cars, this is a rave. Come on, get out of the cars on the pavement. Let's go.
This is fucking great.
I'm sorry.
What about last week?
Last week don't count. Come on, John, let's go.
Hey, you, let's go. Get out.
A little steam here.
Let's go, come on.
Charlotte makes a getaway.
Abby, get those guys out of the van. We're going to grab a bus.
All right. How
you doing? Come on,
Lee. Come on, let's go to the middle picnic. Let's go.
Murphy flashes his badge at a bus driver.
Police business. We're taking a bus.
The bus drives along the street, crammed full of prostitutes. One of the men from the basement is holding his bird from the cockfight. Corelli's driving the bus.
Hey, this is the ball, you know? Always wanted to drive a bus.
Hey, come on, cheer up, you mafia.
Oh, yeah, cheer up. We got a bus full of cop killers here. Super sleuth strikes again.
Now, you're letting that Connolly guy get to you again. Forget about it. The guy's an empty suit.
Well, he acts like we're a bunch of jerk-offs. All we want to do is drink and screw.
Hell, there ain't one guy in this house who wouldn't give his right arm. They get the guys that killed those two rookies.
Come on, I know a couple of guys you could shoot their mothers and their feelings wouldn't get hurt.
You can't go turning this neighborhood upside down every time somebody gets killed, not even a cop.
Police are dragging people out of the store under a sign reading the South Bronx People's Party. The crowd struggles as they're taken to a police van. People watch from their windows. The police close the van doors on the suspects.
Let's get the fuck out of here!
Get out!
Come on. Let's go. Hey, innkeeper, we need lodgings for tonight.
Oh, don't leave them here, Murphy. Please, put them up on the stairs. I'll book them after I get through with this bunch.
Okay,
please.
Come on.
I'm gonna be here all night with this kid. All you guys, listen. Book your people. Then move up to the squad for the detectives to block them.
An unruly gang charged down the street. Some of them carry baseball bats. They shake their fists angrily.
We'll authorize overtime for all the men on the 8 to 4, so we can process the suspects.
It's like Grand Central Station out there, Captain. How are we going to get the next tour out?
Knock, knock.
What is it?
We got a bit of a riot building up, Captain.
Where?
In the Bronx. I wouldn't bother you if it was in Philadelphia.
Connolly grabs his police hat and charges out of the office.
Special investigation sent some people over to that clubhouse and they went to war. We've had 3 10-13s. The crowd's heading for the precinct.
Call every available car in our patrol and get some backup from Burr.
Connolly comes out of the station as the blue and white police van pulls up. Some cops open the rear doors and drag out the suspects.
We went in to question him and they started to give us a hassle.
Why weren't my desk officers informed about this?
Why wasn't I informed about how much of a following those people have in the neighborhood? You sent us out on this, Captain. You should have told us what we were getting into.
A huge riotous gang charges through the rubble-strewn streets. Some dogs follow the clamoring masses. Back at the station.
They're cooperating?
Oh, they ain't even being sociable.
You think we killed your cops, man? Well, we wouldn't waste a bullet.
You wanna go to war with me, Tug-Tug? I got 17 assaults and 5 assassinations of officers to clear. I'll nail your ass to the precinct wall, you hassle me. You understand?
We were at a nuclear power teach-in all day that day.
At Sarah Lawrence, man. You wanna check it out? We got 500 witnesses.
Yeah, you want to go up against 500 honky college girls, man? Go ahead.
Yeah, Stiff, go check it out.
Then you can let us out.
Hey, Stiff. Hey, Stiff! You want to tell me your name again?
The crowd has gathered outside the police station, held back by a police barricade. They pelt the cops with fruit and vegetables. In the station, the staircase is crowded with people brought into custody.
NG and that bunch of revolutionaries up there. The only thing they shoot is beavers.
Let the brothers go! Let the brothers go!
Murphy's watching the crowd through the window mesh.
Let the brothers go!
Connolly and Pantuzzi come out for a look at the assembled masses. Rioters are standing on a fire escape, throwing things at the station. A heavy-set man in a green jacket raises his hands in the air. Connolly strides over to him. Connolly stops in front of the man.
You're the leader here.
Ain't no leaders here, man. Just one soul.
You're interfering with the operations of a police.
You let our brothers out of that dungeon.
That's a violation of the law. And if you do not cease the activity, I will place you under arrest.
You let our brothers out of your dungeon, then we'll leave.
I'll give you 5 minutes to disperse.
Let the brothers go! Let the brothers go!
Let the brothers go!
Let the brothers go!
Let the brothers go!
Give them 5 minutes to disperse.
Captain, we've had these things before. If you just kind of let them blow off steam a little, they go away.
Give them 5. Then release tear gas into the crowd.
Police armed with rifles appear on the roof of the precinct building. Connolly and Pantuzzi come back out.
Gas him.
Pantuzzi hurries over to the other officers.
Fall back, let's go now, fall back, everybody back. Let's go guys, back. Fall back.
The officers retreat.
Okay, Jimmy. Release the gas.
The police shoot canisters into the crowd, which spark, then erupt with white gas. Connolly and Pantuzzi go back inside. Murphy watches with a shocked expression.
What the hell is he doing?
He's going to war.
You too! Come with me!
Dutch Treat?
What did you say?
I got no beef with these people. You're just making things worse.
You forgot how to take orders, patrolman?
Outside, rioters run through the billowing smoke while police officers tussle with the criminals and hit them with their batons. Connolly comes out with Murphy and Corelli and points at the ringleader, who's being helped up off the ground.
Get him! The field dragon!
The ringleader tries to run, but Corelli tackles him to the ground. In the station, Connolly makes his way through the crowd up to the front desk.
Book this man! Incitement to riot, assault, attempted assault. Criminal anarchy, disturbing the peace. You men give your names as arrested officers. When he's been booked, bring a prisoner to the squad room.
You think you can hold me here?
We can watch you in here. Just cool it. Let us book you and be back in the streets in an hour. Think the revolution can wait that long?
It'll wait.
Give your name to the night.
C. Sitting around a table in a diner, Murphy, Isabella, Corelli and Teresa build a tower of beer cans until it collapses onto their laps. Later, Murphy's helping his three little girls cross a street to meet up with Isabella on the other side. That night, Isabella's with Murphy as he parks his car outside a bar. Unnerved by a gang hanging out on the corner, Isabella's reluctant to go any further, but Murphy walks her to the bar, putting a comforting arm around her. Now it's daytime, and Corelli's waiting for Murphy outside the precinct building.
Let's go to work!
My, my, you're in a positive mood today.
I'm in love.
Oh!
I'm in love.
In the 4-1 precinct, report of a 10-13. Assist patrolman, 163 and Fox. In the 4-1 precinct, report of a 10-13.
An apartment building is ablaze as Murphy and Corelli's car races to the scene. On the street, four police officers are struggling to hold off angry hordes with their nightsticks. Eventually, one of the officers fires his gun into the air. Murphy steps out into the chaos.
What the hell happened?
We came out in this fire! They started bombing us from the roof!
When reinforcements arrive in a police van, the officer in charge points up at a roof. Men are hurling down objects.
Murphy and Corelli, get up on that roof!
As Murphy and Corelli run into the building, one of the men on the roof drops a piece of porcelain, narrowly missing the crowd. Another throws a brick at a police car's windscreen. At the heat of the disturbance, a beleaguered Charlotte is staggering through the mob. Murphy and Corelli step out onto the roof.
Police!
Call the police officers!
Freeze!
That's right, against the wall. Spread them out. Come on, spread them out! Spread them out! Come on, spread them!
They begin cautiously frisking the two suspects.
Oh, man, what the...
Hey!
Corelli kicks the feet from under one of the men, then grabs the other and pushes him down onto his front.
Come on, let's take a little nap with your friend down here.
On another roof, a young couple are watching the action down below.
Hey, look at this over here.
What?
Look at this. Young love up on the roof there, huh?
Ah, that's a cheap date. Instead of going to the movies, they just walk up on the roof and watch the buildings burn.
Two cops appear.
Uh-oh. Well, you look at them muffs.
Yeah, Morgan and Finley, what a couple of hot shots, huh?
Hey, Morgan!
Hey, they can't hear you.
They grab the young man.
Hey!
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 Hold it!
Morgan, you asshole!
Hey!
Leave the kid alone! Hey, he didn't do nothing!
Hold it!
Hey, put me down! Put me
down!
Hold
it! Hey!
Morgan throws the man off the roof. Murphy and Corelli stare in shock.
Did you see that?
I didn't see nothing.
Across the street, Morgan brushes himself off, then turns to face Finley, who holds his chest, shaken by what's happened. Neither of them notice the young woman cowering behind a pile of junk. She ducks out of sight. A moment later, Murphy and Corelli are marching their two suspects out of the building.
Nothing's gonna happen here. Fox, we'd like to get your cooperation here. Please stand behind the barricade.
Morgan's back on the street and approaches his car with Finley, continually looking around nervously. Morgan glances at Murphy, who's ignoring him as he gets into his car with Corelli.
We don't want to see anybody get hurt.
Heading back to the station, Murphy and Corelli are still reeling from what they saw. Later, back at the station, Corelli's at his locker while Murphy's sitting silently in a corner.
I don't feel very sartorial tonight.
partner. Okay. What?
What do you mean, okay?
You mean I could go out and do something crazy, are you?
Like what?
I don't know, that's what scares me. Well, let's go out for a drink.
You know, I've been on this job 18 years. I think every minute of it is on my face. All the blood, the beatings, the scams.
Not here, Morph.
I could walk into Grand Central Station, everybody would know I was a cop.
People only know what you tell them. You can fool anybody.
I'm looking you right in the eye. You know what I see?
Morph, this ain't the place for this.
I see that kid falling off that roof. Looking you right in the eye, and that's what I see.
That'll pass. You know it will.
Wonder what my face is gonna look like tomorrow.
It's dark by the time Murphy steps out of the bar, looking worse for wear. Spitting on the ground, he begins to walk to his car. As he gets close, he notices that somebody's opened the passenger door and is reaching inside.
Hey, what the hell are you doing in my car?
When Trackstar looks up at him, Murphy wearily raises his hands and lets the young man make his escape.
The body was discovered after the fire. Death was caused by injuries sustained in a fall. Now, we have witnesses who say they saw two cops toward a decedent off a roof. Anybody got anything to say?
I didn't throw anybody off the roof.
I didn't throw
anybody. Did you hear?
What day was that again? Donahue. Don't try to cover this with jokes. Sorry, Captain. Anything else?
Maybe one of those witnesses threw the decedent off the roof, and they're trying to lay it on us.
That's occurred to me. Everybody's always looking to knock us anyway, Captain.
Especially up here. People don't appreciate cops up here.
I'm aware of that. I just wanted to go on record with you men. I'll go straight to the wall with you on this. As long as I'm satisfied that you're clean. All right, that's all. Murphy, you want to hang in for a second?
Morgan has an anxious glance at Murphy before following the other men out of Connolly's office. Corelli's the last to leave and closes the door.
I didn't hear any denials from you just now.
I don't like sucking around in public.
I just want you to look me in the eye and tell me you know nothing about that homicide.
I didn't throw no kid off no roof.
And you don't know who did.
What are you doing? Are you asking me or are you telling me?
Get out of here.
Murphy marches into the locker room where the other officers are already changing.
What'd he say?
Nothing.
Took me off his Christmas list. Why don't you quit fooling around and tell us what happened, Murphy, eh? Hey, listen.
Hey.
You go to your room, the man don't feel like talking right now.
Morgan turns away. Later, he and the other men are in the bar when Murphy walks in and avoids them.
So they bring this guy out of the East Coast, right? They hoist him up, right? His hands are... Well, his hands are tied behind his back, right? He's got 95 bullet wounds.
Morgan looks over his shoulder.
Hey, Murphy, come on down here and join the party.
Where are you going at?
I'm taking your beer down here to...
Leave it!
The barmaid gives Murphy his drink. Elsewhere, a middle-aged woman lets two drug dealers into an apartment where they find a drugged-up Charlotte slumped on a mattress.
Just all right, it's just a little too high.
Got yourself a new old lady, huh? Hey, baby, what's happening?
Don't worry about her. She's okay, huh?
I ain't worried. I'm interested.
Hey, Jose, everybody knows you got a joint, right? Come on, let's get down to business, right? Hey, come on, Jose, get the money. I'll get the money! Move!
Jose sits down with Charlotte.
Hey, Jose, why don't you chill out, man? Stop messing with the bitch, right? Shit, man. I think I'm in love. Hey, baby.
He starts slowly groping her breasts stroking her patterned dress.
Pretty little boy.
Yeah, baby, that's me.
Did you ever see a snake, little boy?
She begins rhythmically moving her head and teasing Jose with her tongue. Meanwhile, the other dealer's being paid.
Yo, Nando! Hey, check this out, bro! Check this number out!
Charlotte gets up off the mattress.
A snake has a dance. And a snake has a time. And the snake will sneak up on you every time.
Yeah, baby, do it. Oh, why not, mama, mama?
Oye, José, José. Mira, negrito, de esa pendeja allá, ¿eh? Ochale un pie.
That snake's a cold-blooded killer, baby.
She slashes José on the cheek, and Nando quickly pulls her away.
Stop it, Nando! Cut my face! Cut my face! Drop it!
Jose pulls a small knife from his boot and plunges it into Charlotte's stomach.
You'll kill her!
Jose drops to his knees in shock.
Oh, shit. Hello again, Emma.
Bro. Sí.
¿Qué pasó, bro? I think I had to pensar. Let me take
She's dead, oh my God, she's dead.
Shut up, it's your fault for having her here in the first place.
Nando grabs Charlotte's handbag, but finds nothing but her revolver inside.
It's no teeth, nobody, man. Let's wrap her up in this thing, let's get her out of here. Roll up in this thing, get over there, do it!
They wrap Charlotte's body in a rug.
Hey, come on, baby,
you gonna have a drink with me or not?
At the bar, Murphy shrugs off Morgan and returns to his drink.
What do you think of that son of a bitch, huh? Conley. Captain Conley. That clown they dress up as a cop. That fucking banana. I mean, who's he think he's playing with? Some chicken shit rookie? I've been on the job too long, you know what I mean? Yeah, they may get me for cooping over scoring a little nookie on the side. Or maybe even shaking down a bodega. I never said I was the smartest guy in the world. But when he comes up with this phony witness shit.
They got witnesses, Einstein.
Yeah, deaf and dumb ones, right?
Real live ones. The kind that put you away.
Morgan looks worried.
Hey, Murphy!
Murphy steps outside.
Murphy! Murphy, come here! Murphy! What are you talking about?
They got the little chick that was hiding up there behind a junk pile.
Watch it!
Yeah.
They got me and Corelli, too.
Hey, number one police work. Poor kid, wasn't bothering nobody. You throw him on the roof!
You shut the fuck up!
Oh, you fucking creep. I wish I was man enough to turn you in.
Morgan comes running towards him, but Murphy kicks him in the leg and knocks him into a blazing rubbish bin. Morgan fights back and pins him against the shutter of a storefront. Gripping each other by their clothes, they tussle towards a pile of wooden pallets and crash down on top of them. Kneeling over Murphy, Morgan weakens him with a few headbutts. But when Murphy grips Morgan's face with both hands and knees him in the groin, Morgan rolls onto the pavement, enabling Murphy to get to his feet. Murphy picks up a solid piece of wood and slams it down hard on Morgan's back. Deciding not to hit him again, Murphy hurls the piece of wood through a store window, but Morgan quickly gets to his feet and grabs him. As they wrestle each other to the ground, a squad car appears. It takes four officers to separate the two cops.
You motherfucker, I'm gonna turn you in!
Shut your mouth! What
are you gonna do, write me up?
You bring me out on something like this? I gotta keep two cops from killing each other, huh? Write you up, you piece of shit. You're lucky I don't shoot you. Now get out of here. Go run your car into a tree.
Morgan and Murphy have another go at each other.
Get your fucking hands off me! Get the fuck off!
Get him home. You calling sick tomorrow.
I don't need nobody to take me home. Nobody!
Come on, break it up. All right, man, we'll take care of the window tab. All right, let's get the hell out of here!
Meanwhile, Jose and Nando are careful not to be seen as they carry the rolled-up rug containing Charlotte from the apartment building into the open boot of a waiting car. Next day, Corelli finds Murphy sitting alone on a bench in the Bronx Park. Carrying a brown paper bag, Corelli walks over to join his partner just as he's lighting up a cigarette.
Hey, breakfast time.
How'd you get into this?
Clendenin called me. I figured you'd be up here.
You like being a den mother?
I'm your friend, right? So I look out for you. I'm glad he called me.
Corelli sips a cup of coffee.
I'm giving Morgan and Finley away. You gonna back me up? Huh? Why not?
Corelli looks the other way.
They killed that kid for no reason. And they're no good anyway.
I know that.
So?
So I can't be a stool pigeon. The kid's dead. We can't do anything for him. We'll just end up making trouble for ourselves.
So we just let those two guys get away with murder, huh? That a Puerto Rican is dead. Why worry about it?
I didn't say that.
Yeah, it's a neighborhood, it's the world, it's this, it's that. People get shit on so much, a little more or less don't make no difference.
I didn't say that either.
Yeah, we're cops. We gotta stick together. We gotta cover each other. Meanwhile, boy, if that kid had been Irish or Italian,
he wouldn't be living up here in the first place. He'd be in Ireland getting blown away, or in Italy getting murdered by one of his own. You read the papers. We're not gonna change the world by giving two cops away.
That's just talk, Andy, and you know it. Both know what's right. We ain't got the guts to do it.
Guts? What are you talking, guts? You mean brains, don't you? Shit, I'll go through fire with you, Murph, and you know I will. But I gotta live with these guys. You turn a cop in and you're finished. You might as well quit the force and move out of the city. Even if you get a transfer, your rep files you around.
Corelli sits back down.
It just ain't worth it. Especially when you won't be doing anybody any good. I ain't a stool pigeon, Mark. Sorry.
Is that what I be?
These guys have families.
No, is that what I be to you?
You want me to say it? You turn two cops and you're a rat, yeah.
Corelli looks away again.
Come on, let's get out of here. Come on. Get something to eat, take a shower, you'll feel better. Come on, you don't want to spend your day off in the Bronx, huh?
He heads back towards the car. Murphy's parked at the side of the road when Isabella walks by carrying shopping.
That's right. Just pass me up like I was some drunken bum on the street.
Better move that car before you get a ticket.
They'll never take me alive.
What the hell happened to you?
He touches his black eye.
Tried to score with an orangutan.
That's about your speed.
A little later, Murphy and Isabella are sitting on a park bench with a pizza box.
You still hungry? Cold?
Oh, yeah.
They snuggle up to one another, and Murphy kisses Isabella on the forehead.
Is your lunch out?
I'm off today.
Don't you have anything better to do with your time off?
Not really. I'm kind of a lonely guy, you know?
Oh, poor baby.
Oh, it's not that bad. I didn't even know I was lonely until I met you.
What's that supposed to mean?
I got drinking, chipping. Sit home, watch a ball game. Just with a six-pack.
Sounds like a nice life.
It was okay. And, you know, all of a sudden, I just get lonely and I start thinking about you. Maybe I'm taking this too serious.
I need a nice hot bath.
Bubble bath. I save it for when the kids come to visit.
Oh-ho.
People wear pants in the southern part of France.
Murphy pours liquid into the bath, then reaches in and whisks the water with his hand to froth it up.
There, you look like a Hollywood starlet.
Want to take my picture?
I'll take your picture.
He lunges into the water, fully clothed, and kisses her. Later, Murphy's asleep in bed when Isabella emerges from the bathroom and silently closes the door behind her. Having dressed already, she sits down on the edge of the bed and begins putting her shoes and socks on. Murphy stirs.
You look like a little kid when you do that.
Where are you going?
Oh, man. Can't stay here forever.
Sure you can.
And it wouldn't be as much fun.
Speak for yourself.
Back to sleep.
She kisses him on the lips.
You're sweet.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing. I just have to get back home.
Murphy peers under the covers.
I know you like me.
I have to leave.
She stands up and takes her watch off the dresser.
Do you have to get high?
What are you talking about?
I saw those track marks on the back of your legs. If you sleep with a cop, you got no secrets.
Yeah, man, I want to get high. I want to get down right away. Can you dig, baby? You cops are weird, you know. It's like you see everything, but you don't know anything.
Murphy rolls out of bed and lights a cigarette.
You want to get high?
Look, you think I'm a junkie? You think I'm strung out? You see, that's what I mean. You could stay in this neighborhood for the rest of your life and you'd never understand. I get high once in a while. Just like everyone else in the hospital. Even the doctors.
Like everyone else in the country.
That's right.
Yeah, but everybody else in the country don't stick needles in their veins.
Isabella sits down and looks at him.
Smacks like a vacation for me. You know? A few hours floating on a raft in the Caribbean. I don't take a vacation every day. I don't need one. In other words, I'm not a junkie, okay?
If you want it so bad, let me get it for you.
You?
Yeah. We keep it down at the precinct to give it to stoolies. There's tons of it. Let me carry you for a while, huh? Till you grow out of it.
I would think that you'd give me a lecture about cleaning up my act or something.
See, you could be around cops for the rest of your life. You'd never understand them.
Isabella leans over and kisses him on the cheek.
Yeah, well, I know what that kiss means. We'll drive you home. How about we get out of the Bronx sometime?
Sounds good.
Yeah, go downtown, see a show.
Sure.
A little change of scenery.
It stays in your head no matter where you go, though. You know, sometimes I'll be someplace, and I'll turn real fast, and I'll think I see blood all over the walls like an emergency. Or I'll see an old man sitting in a park, and like for a second, his mouth just kind of flops open and he's dead. People pass you and they're laughing, only you think they're screaming.
Yeah, some things you can't get out of your mind. You know that kid? You know that kid that was killed the other day? Thrown off a roof?
You're not gonna tell me you did it, are you?
No.
That's a relief, because we figured it was cops.
Oh, you did? Just like that?
Well, yeah. People were throwing garbage down on him.
This kid wasn't doing anything. My partner and I were on the next roof. Two guys from our precinct come in and threw him off. You understand what I'm telling you? I mean, I know who killed that kid.
Are you asking me what to do?
I don't know.
Look, just make it easy on yourself, because it doesn't make any difference anyway. You're never going to bring that kid back no matter what you do. And if you rat out those two cops...
Rat out, huh?
Well, that's what you're talking about, isn't it? I mean, if you'd seen my brother throw that kid off a roof, there'd be no problem, would there? You'd arrest him in a second. It's only because they're cops that you've got all this conscience about it.
Is that wrong?
Let me off.
Hey, don't talk like that.
Let me off.
You don't live here.
I'll walk the rest of the way.
It's raining.
Let me off.
As Murphy pulls up at the curb, Isabella goes to step out, but turns back and kisses him on the lips.
Goodbye, baby.
Hey? Will I see you again?
Sure if you want to.
Murphy seems disappointed as he watches her run through the rain towards an apartment building. From a window, Jose watches Isabella approaching.
That bitch from the hospital. She's with that cop again.
Getting out with him, huh?
She's gonna lead him right to us, fucking slut.
You're just jealous, Papi. That's all. But that's it also.
Jealous? Hey, man, what would I want with a slut like that?
I'm talking about the bitch. I'm talking about the cop. It's more your speed, right, Joselito?
Come on, cut that shit out, man. I'm gonna take that bitch off the count. Tu sabes? Como le saque ya puta negra sucia, coño. Ya! Ya! Ya!
You know, sabe lo que lo tuyo, papito. Why don't you just relax, man? You know, you get too excited. Why don't you let me take care of it, right? I mean, the man is on the case.
What you gonna do?
I ain't gonna do nothing, man. Sabe?
You gonna burn her?
No, my man. She gonna burn herself. Come here, man.
With a grin, Jose walks over to where Nando's cutting heroin.
This is a real deal, Neil. This ain't no whack attack. I'm gonna rock her world. I'll make her planets twirl.
Straight from the cooker. Without a chaser.
Mira. Right there. This hurts, man. Vasila, check it out. This hurts.
Nando checks the spy hole before giving Jose the all clear to open the door to Isabella.
Oh, mira que está. Hey, baby, ¿cómo hace? Entra, entra. Come in from the cold, man. Entra, negrita. Oh, yeah. Wow. Hey, how you been?
Now it's morning. Sunlight's filtering through veiled curtains into Isabella's bedroom. Dressed in her pajamas, Isabella's sitting slumped forward on her bed with her dark hair hanging over her face. Her face glistens with perspiration as she slowly lifts her head. She's too high to open her eyes. A spoon and a lit candle rest on the bedside table beside her. Laboriously getting to her feet, Isabella still has her eyes closed and walks straight into her bedroom door, but doesn't seem to notice. A moment later, still wearing her pajamas, Isabella stumbles out onto the street. Swaying back and forth, barely able to stand, she staggers along the pavement, looking like she may topple over with every step. Despite her knees being on the verge of buckling, she manages to place one bare foot in front of the other, taking faltering steps forward. A passerby glances at her briefly without stopping. Meanwhile, Jose and Nando are crossing a street towards the emergency department of the hospital. Now holding her head, Isabella's finding it increasingly difficult to walk. A man stepping out of a building glances back when he sees her tottering along. Unable to go any further, Isabella finally lurches forward and collapses. The man and two other people come to help. Meanwhile, at the hospital, Nando greets a caretaker.
Listen, I got a message from your girlfriend.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she told me to give you this over here, man.
Oh, right.
So, like, what's happening, man? How you been?
Okay. Hey, where's your boy, Jose, man?
He's having a massage, man.
Oh, yeah, okay. Not coming with you?
No, man. Right now, he got other things to do. I got things to do, you know?
Yeah.
You might let him go, bro. Okay. You know, but I gotta go, man. For real. Right. You take care, right? That's the banana.
The caretaker's given Nando drugs.
You in love with Jose or something like that, man?
Hey,
cool, Slick. You ain't going nowhere.
Hey, hold it, man. We gotta get his partner.
Oh, God. Jose!
The bus! Freeze! Get them! Hold it!
Right here!
Freeze!
Get your gun down. Put him down or blow his damn brains up! Put your hands on top of your head. Put your hands on top. Don't make me repeat myself. God damn it. Jose, get them guns, man.
Nando and Jose have taken hospital staff hostage.
Hold it right there. Move right there. Stand still. Get up, god damn it.
4-1 precinct, report of a 1013, Jefferson Hospital. Repeat, Jefferson Hospital.
It's probably your girlfriend.
Precinct, report of a 1013.
Just can't get enough, can't you?
Jefferson Hospital.
Corelli places a red light on the roof of the car and Murphy puts his foot down. In no time, they're arriving at the hospital, then sprinting towards the entrance. Inside, Murphy spots the duty sergeant.
What's going down?
Narcotics blew a bust. Dealers caught on. He took a bunch of doctors, nurses, and patients hostage.
Nurses? Where are they?
They're in the administrator's office on the 6th floor.
You got any names?
Get their names, we get them out of there. If we get them out of there.
See if she's down here someplace.
We'll have to evacuate
anybody
the hospital.
See Isabella,
but Lieutenant,
out
that's
here?
Impossible. We have patients here who are in ambulatory.
So we'll carry them out.
Please, Lieutenant, you don't seem to understand. These men are desperate. There's no telling what
they are. You got another idea? You want to just let him go?
Why not? If you know who they are, you could always pick them up later.
Isabella, Ortiz,
you're out
here.
Take
them
away from me.
Okay, you made your point. Take it easy.
Nurses and attendants, please move all patients back into their rooms immediately. Stay with them and barricade the doors. Clear the operating room. Suspend all therapy. Doctors and administrative personnel report to the emergency
room. Get these people out of here!
The officer in charge approaches an undercover cop.
What's his name?
Hernando.
With guns drawn, the two policemen step cautiously over to a door marked Administration and take cover around a corner before the officer calls out.
Hernando, listen. You've been around. You know we ain't going anywhere. So why don't you let those people go and come on out?
What for, huh? Tell me, what for? To spend the rest of my life in prison? Nah, not me, baby. No. You better come up with a better offer than that. Everybody's staying here with me. And you're gonna come here and get me. And that means you're gonna kill me, and that means they're gonna go too.
Listen, Lieutenant. If they're in the anteroom, the administrator's office is empty. Maybe we can drop two guys down. Come in from behind. Take a chance.
You know the layout?
Sure. Make a drawing.
Quiet out there, huh?
You guys talking it over? You people thinking it over? Don't think I mean business, huh?
Nando waves his gun around the room full of hostages, then points it at a doctor.
Come here! Come here! Get them! Get him! Get over there! Are you guys thinking it over?
He shoots the doctor in the leg.
Shut up! Shut up, goddammit! All of you, shut up! Shut up!
Come on, stay still, man! I'm talking to you, come on!
Now, there's one doctor here who needs a doctor! The next are gonna need undertakers!
We're gonna have to go in.
Got the hostage squad coming over.
We're not gonna negotiate with this much. He's blowing people away in there.
What do you mean?
The son of a bitch just shot someone. Tell emergency to lay out their harnesses. You got any suggestions as to who we should angle?
Emergency. But it's my squeal, Lieutenant. I want to stick with it.
I'll go with you.
To emergency. Okay, we have to go up this way.
How many guns they got?
Four for sure.
Yeah? Look.
Murphy and the undercover cop are on the roof, attaching ropes to their waists.
We're going to need some time.
2 minutes exactly, and you go in. We'll keep them occupied.
10-4.
Murphy checks his gun.
Tell him to put it on a clock.
Put us on the clock.
Now.
Now.
Two members of the emergency team assist Murphy and the cop as they climb over the safety rail on the edge of the roof and slowly begin to abseil down the side of the building. Reaching a window, Murphy spreads his legs to avoid touching the glass. At the door of the administration office, the lieutenant shows Corelli his watch.
Hey, come on, talk to us.
I ain't rapping to none of you street pigs. I'm rapping to the commissioner.
He's on his way up here now, so don't go blowing your cool.
A crowd has gathered on the street below to watch Murphy and the cop carefully make their way down the side of the building. Crashing through a window into a room, Murphy begins untying his harness while the cop climbs in after him. Corelli nervously looks at his watch. Moving silently through a corridor, Murphy and the cop are approaching the administration office from the rear. Reaching the door, Murphy checks his watch.
Everybody, quiet! Quiet! I said quiet, everybody!
Get up! Get everybody up against the wall! Come on, get up against the wall! Goddammit, all of you!
Come on, move him, move him, move him!
Come on, move your goddamn ass against the door! Move it! Come on, move! Move!
Come on, get up against the door, man! Come on, do what he says, bitch! Move!
Cops come in, baby. You guys are going to be the first one to get it. You hear that?
Corelli tries the administration office doorknob, but finds the door locked. Then, in a coordinated attack, the police in the corridor ram the door with a trolley, while Murphy and the undercover cop burst through the rear. Murphy takes out Nando, while the cop deals with Jose. Murphy checks Nando's lifeless body, then slumps to the floor, before suddenly panicking and getting back to his feet.
Murph, you okay?
No, I don't know where she is. Huh?
Let me through here.
In another part of the hospital, a nurse puts her hand to her mouth and starts crying when a doctor ceases treating Isabella. While he's searching the hospital, Murphy notices them from the corridor.
What's wrong?
An overdose.
Oh, no.
Murphy lifts Isabella off the trolley.
I gotta get her moving.
Oh, she's dead. It's over.
Come on. Move. Keep moving. Come on, you can do it. You can do it.
Come on. Come on. Move. Oh. Come on. Do it. Oh. Oh. Oh no. Oh no. Oh. Oh no. Oh, honey. Murphy. 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 Come on.
Corelli steps in.
Oh, oh. Come on. Give me a hand with
Murphy lets him take Isabella's body and carry it with the help of the doctor back to the trolley. Murphy leans against a wall. Later, a nurse attends to a patient in the waiting room. Sitting in a corner with his coat draped over a litter bin, Murphy flinches when the cigarette he's holding burns his fingers. Sitting with his eyes closed, Murphy lets out a deep breath. Finally, he picks up his coat and walks out of the door. Walking through the Bronx, Murphy passes a stretch of land strewn with rubble as if a bomb's hit it. Further on, wrecked vehicles and pieces of junk line the pavement. An elevated train passes by overhead as Murphy continues his long walk. He turns a corner and passes a cop in uniform.
Morning, mate.
Two more greet him from the door of the police station.
There you go. How you doing?
Murphy steps inside and heads straight towards Connolly's office. Pantuzzi and the duty sergeant share a look of concern. Connolly looks up from a filing cabinet drawer.
What is it, Murphy? Well, what is it? I'm not a mind reader.
You got your stoolie.
He walks to the window.
What does that mean? You got trouble spitting it out? Write it on a piece of paper. Go out and slip it under the door.
Morgan and Finley are the guys you want. They threw that kid off the roof.
How do you know?
I seen him do it. A witness.
Connolly picks up a phone.
Pantuzzi, get the Bronx ADA's office on the phone. I want a district attorney and a stenographer up here right away. Send a car to get him. You sure took your sweet-ass time coming in with this news, didn't you?
Ignoring him, Murphy drops his badge on Connolly's desk.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, what does it look like? Ain't that funny? Being a stoolie is my last official act.
You're a good cop, Murphy. But I don't think you'd be much good at anything else.
I'm gonna run for president. What do you care?
Because I'm gonna need all the good cops I can get if I'm gonna run this precinct the right way.
The right way?
Yeah.
The right way. That's by the book, ain't it? You know, you made more waves up here in 1 month than Dugan did in 5 years. And what did it get you? Did it get you your cop killers? No, what it got you was 100 bum arrests, another burnout building, and a dead kid. Ah! Jesus, I've been dragging my ass in and out of this precinct for 14 years. It's too much. I feel as burnout as those damn buildings down in Charlotte Street. I ain't doing nobody no good. And you got your nose buried so deep into that book of yours, you don't even see what's going on around
here. I'm not proud about what's happened up here. But I can't see, Murphy. I can see the people out there. Not just the hookers, the pimps, and the junkies. But those people are trying to build something up here. And I want them to know who's running this precinct. I want them to know that this precinct isn't a clubhouse or a freak show, but the house of the law. And that the law means something in their lives, and that it's there to serve them. That's the book, Murphy. You got a better way?
Now you can take the whole neighborhood and bulldoze it in the East River. And you and me with it.
Bullshit! You want to quit? Go ahead. I'm not built that way.
That's nice, Captain. That's nice. You keep trying, I'm quitting.
You don't want this? Save it for the sweeper.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Later, as the DA is leaving his office, Connolly looks down at Murphy.
You have to go down to grand jury tomorrow.
Yeah, I know.
The men will know about it by then.
You saw the stenographer come in here. They don't know I'm not dictating my life story. They know.
Yeah. Anyway, hold on to this for a while. You can always throw it back in my face. I'm not going anywhere. No.
Leaving without his badge, Murphy pauses briefly to look towards the front desk, just as the other officers turn to face him. Later, he's driving in his car when an arm reaches forward from the back seat and a finger presses against his temple.
Freeze!
Jesus, I thought it was a hit.
You ain't worth killing.
Corelli clambers forward.
Don't be too sure. I gave Morgan and Finley away.
Yeah? So what else is new? I figured you would.
But that means they're gonna subpoena you.
Yeah, I know.
What are you gonna do?
Well, let me put it this way. I'm not gonna commit perjury to protect those two bastards.
You could always say you didn't see nothing.
What, leave you hanging like that? What kind of a creep would I be if I did something like that? Man, you know how I feel about you, man. I'll go up against a department. I'll go up against a goddamn world for you. We're partners, baby.
Not anymore.
What do you mean?
Put in my papers.
What? You mean you're gonna leave me alone up here in a garden spot of the Western world?
Just can't hack it in.
Hey, Murph, look. Look at that. You gonna let him get away with that?
You betcha. I'm a civilian now. I can look the other way.
Yeah, right. Tell me about it.
Slamming on the brakes, Murphy turns the car to go after Trackstar, who's just climbed out of the window of a nearby house. Looking over his shoulder as he sprints across a bridge over a highway, Trackstar sees Murphy and Corelli running after him. They're gaining ground as he leads them through a neighborhood of run-down, dilapidated buildings. A building's being torn down nearby. Across the street from the pursuit, the rug containing Charlotte's body lies undiscovered amidst a sea of building rubble. Now right on top of Trackstar, Murphy reaches out his arm and leaps into the air.